This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, a senior attending here, and I'm joined, as always, by our research fellow.
And I'm Dr. Ilara. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Medicine, published in 2026. It's a retrospective cohort study titled Effect of Anterior Cervical Discectomy and Fusion versus Laminoplasty on Spinocranial Angle in Patients with Multilevel Cervical Spondylotic Myelopathy.
This is a topic that hits close to home for any spine surgeon. When we're dealing with multilevel cervical spondylotic myelopathy, or MCSMM, the debate between an anterior and a posterior approach is perennial. We're talking about patients with three or more segments of compression. Usually, it's a mix of osteophyte formation, disc degeneration, and dural sac compression.
Exactly. And while we know both ACDF and laminoplasty, or LP, improve health-related outcomes, this paper dives into a newer metric of sagittal balance that isn't talked about as much as the C2-C7 SVA, the spinocranial angle, or SCA.
Let's pause there for our listeners, especially the residents. We're all familiar with the T1 slope and the C2-C7 sagittal vertical axis, but define the SCA for us based on this paper.
Of course. The SCA is defined as the angle between a line from the center of the sella turcica to the center of the C7 inferior end plate and the C7 plateau line itself. In a normal population, it usually fluctuates around 83 degrees, plus or minus 9. The beauty of the SCA is that it accounts for both the cervical base inclination and the impact of the head's weight on balance. It's directly related to the horizontal fixation function, essentially how we keep our eyes on the horizon.
Right. It's a more global view of how the head sits on the neck. So what was the setup of this study?
It was a retrospective analysis of 121 patients treated between 2014 and 2021 by the same surgeon. 51 patients underwent ACDF and 69 underwent laminoplasty. They had a solid follow-up, minimum of 24 months. They looked at the SCA, the C2-C7 Cobb angle, CSVA, and T1-SCA. Since T1 slope is often hard to see on standard x-rays, they use the C7 slope as a surrogate.
That's a common clinical workaround. Now, before we get to the radiographic secret sauce, how did the patients actually do clinically?
Both groups improved significantly across all metrics, JOA score, NDI, and SF36. However, ACDF seemed to have a slight edge. At the final follow-up, the ACDF group had a superior neurological recovery rate, 50.5% compared to about 45% in the laminoplasty group. The ACDF patients also reported lower NDI scores, 12.9 versus 14.97 in the LP group.
That's a statistically significant difference for NDI, which measures disability. Now, why is that? The authors suggest it's linked to the sagittal parameters, right?
Precisely. This is where the SCA data gets really interesting. At the final follow-up, the ACDF group showed a significantly reduced SCA, reduced T1-SCA, and reduced CSVA compared to the laminoplasty group. Meanwhile, ACDF resulted in a larger C7 slope and a larger C2-C7 Cobb angle.
Let's break that down. In ACDF, we are performing a direct anterior decompression and, crucially, a fusion. By using spacers or cages, we're often restoring lordosis at those specific segments. The paper notes that ACDF independently drove that postoperative SCA reduction.
Yes, the multivariate analysis confirmed it. ACDF independently predicted a lower follow-up NDI. But here's the kicker. They found that an elevated delta SCA, meaning a larger change or increase in the spinocranial angle, independently aggravated the NDI score.
So if the SCA increases too much, the patient's functional outcome, their NDI, gets worse. And since the ACDF group was better at keeping that SCA lower or more balanced compared to the LP group, they felt better.
Exactly. The paper suggests that because ACDF involves a fusion and can more directly correct the C2-C7 Cobb angle, it stabilizes the head-neck relationship more effectively. In contrast, laminoplasty is an indirect posterior decompression and is non-fusion. While it preserves motion, it might not offer the same degree of sagittal correction, or it might allow for sagittal drift over time.
I think it's important to highlight the biomechanical difference they mentioned. ACDF is direct anterior decompression plus fusion, while LP is indirect posterior decompression and non-fusion. If you have a patient with borderline sagittal balance, the posterior approach might not be enough to prevent that heavy head feeling that leads to neck pain and higher NDI.
That's a great way to put it. The study actually used linear mixed effects models to adjust for age, gender, BMI, and the number of operative segments. Even after all those adjustments, the impact of the surgical choice on the SCA and the subsequent impact on NDI remained clear.
Did they find any correlation with the JOA recovery rate?
Interestingly, no. Neither the type of surgery nor the change in SCA was an independent predictor for the JOA recovery rate in the multivariate analysis. It seems that while both surgeries are effective at decompressing the cord and improving raw neurological function, the quality of life and neck disability are what's truly sensitive to these sagittal parameters like SCA.
That makes sense. JOA is very focused on motor and sensory function, walking, buttoning a shirt. NDI is about pain, headaches, and daily activities. You can have a great neurological recovery, but still have a miserable neck because your spinocranial alignment is off.
Right. And let's look at the numbers for CSVA. In the ACDF group, the CSVA was significantly lower at the final follow-up, 20.14 millimeters compared to 25.10 millimeters in the LP group. We know from previous literature that a high CSVA is linked to poor outcomes, and this study reinforces that ACDF is more effective at pulling that head back over the shoulders.
It's also worth noting the T1 SCA. For our listeners, that's the T1 slope modified spinocranial angle. The study found that ACDF reduced this as well. It really points to a more comprehensive realignment of the entire cervical cranial axis with the anterior approach.
One thing the authors were very honest about, though, was the study's limitations. It's a retrospective, non-randomized cohort. They mentioned that these findings really await prospective randomized verification.
Of course. And in clinical practice, we don't just choose ACDF for everyone. The paper mentions that surgical selection should be individualized based on patient pathology. If someone has significant ossification of the posterior longitudinal ligament, or OPLL, or specific posterior compressions, LP might still be the go-to. But if sagittal balance is a concern, this data pushes me to look harder at the anterior options.
It's also about the weight of the head. The SCA specifically considers the sella turcica. If we're not looking at where the head is in relation to C7, we're missing half the picture. The paper concludes that ACDF independently drives that SCA reduction, which in turn improves the NDI.
It's a compelling argument for the anterior first mentality in multilevel disease, provided the anatomy allows for it. Any final thoughts on the radiographic measurements?
Just a reminder on the C7 slope. They used it because T1 isn't always visible, and they found that ACDF actually increased the C7 slope at the final follow-up compared to laminoplasty. This plays into the whole compensatory mechanism of the spine. When you fuse the cervical levels in a better lordotic position, the base, the C7 or T1 slope, has to adjust to maintain that horizontal gaze.
It's all a chain reaction. Well, this has been a great deep dive. To summarize, for multilevel cervical myelopathy, ACDF might offer better long-term neck disability scores and better neurological recovery rates than laminoplasty, largely because it does a better job of managing the spinocranial angle and overall sagittal balance.
Precisely. ACDF reduces the SCA, and a lower SCA change is associated with a better NDI.
Great summary, Dr. Alara. Thank you for walking us through the data. And to our listeners, remember to check the sella to C7 line on your next post-op film. It might tell you more than the Cobb angle alone.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast.